Yeah, that's on. There you go. Let's go ahead and.
Hi, Stephen.
All right. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Solomon Graves. I'm the PIO for the department.
Okay.
My prison still only is to make sure that the interview follows ADC policy, not to restrict Bobby's questions to you in any way or your answers in any way. The only time I interject is most likely if he does something that we would
Okay. Did you talk to my mom?
I sure did.
Yeah.
I talked to your ma and Dennis.
Yes.
He owns a, does he still own the body shop?
Yes, yeah. His dad does. His dad passed away here about November, and he's taken under control, so.
Yeah, okay. Was Dennis always involved in that? I mean, does he know that business?
Yeah. His dad's owned it since 1966, so.
Thank you very much for writing me back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Radio interview is different than some others because I have to wear these goofy headphones and
okay.
I've got this what's called a shotgun mic.
Yeah, yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, we're just talking.
Okay. I'm slightly nervous, so.
Yeah, well, so am I. Stephen, you should feel free at any point to ask me questions or just whatever you.
You ask me questions in return, so.
What did you do today? What's a typical morning for you?
Well, chow call at 3:30 a.m. We go to chow, eat breakfast. We come back about 30 minutes later, and we go to bed, sleep till chow, noon chow. So that's about it.
I think people would think it was strange to wake up virtually in the middle of the night to have that early a breakfast.
Yeah. It's run like military slang and all that. So so it's no fun. It's no picnic.
When you were younger, did you ever entertain thoughts of being in the military or?
No, I didn't. I thought about joining the Air Force at one time, so that's about it.
You know, your previous stays have involved Wrightsville?
Yeah, when I first got to Pine Bluff and then Cummins, then Wrightsville and Benton Work Release. So,
which of those did you like best?
Wrightsville.
How come?
It wasn't that many people over there. They had better food. And the whole squad really weren't that bad. And so.
Can we just start with some basic biographical information? Mm-hmm. You just tell me about your life. So I guess, would you start with your name and when you were born, where you grew up?
Stephen Dishman was born on August 3rd, 1956, in Kabul, Missouri. And he come from a normal family, normal background, and I'm kind of nervous.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
What do you want to know? What else would you want to know? Ask me questions.
Sure, I'll ask you some questions that are just basic and about your upbringing.
No.
When you were little, what did you think you wanted to grow up to be?
A truck driver, over the road, long haul. I always had an interest in big trucks. My grandfather had a big 2-ton truck, and I always wanted to be a truck driver. And
What was it about being a truck driver? Just the open road?
Yeah,
the big machine?
Yeah, both. The big machine and over the road, seeing the country. And my friends all drove trucks, one of them. And
when you were young and you were in school, what was a subject that you did well in?
Geography. I'm sort of nervous.
That's okay. Were you good at sports?
Yeah, I was good at track. And basketball. I was good at basketball.
How tall are you?
6'1".
So that's taller than average.
Yeah.
Maybe helps in basketball.
Yeah. I didn't have a happy childhood. It was abusive. I had an abusive dad. And we left my dad in 1964. We'd go to Springfield, Missouri, takes mom's check and see his girlfriend. And he came back and beat the heck out of mom, and he started on me, putting both my arms on the floor and go to slapping me in the face numerous times. So we left him, and we moved in with my grandmother, and she met a man who would later become my stepdad. And he was emotional, abusive. And we moved to Arkansas in 1965. Yeah, Springdale. And he was a diesel mechanic. And he taught school, diesel mechanics, in Northwest Arkansas Oil Tech School.
Is this Wilbur? Was that his name?
Willard. Yeah. And
but he was abusive too?
Emotionally. He wasn't a father. He couldn't have kids. So stepdad is all he was.
Did you learn anything from him?
No, no. I stayed away from it much, as much as possible. And
when you say emotionally abusive, give me a scene, give me a detail.
Well, he wasn't a father. He wasn't a dad. He didn't know how to deal with kids. He wanted me, he come from the country upbringing back in the 40s, 50s. So he wasn't that knowledgeable about children. He didn't like the way I dressed. I wanted to blend in with the kids at school. Yeah, that was a big no-no. I wanted to let my hair go long. That was a big no-no. So he was kind of restrictive in that way. So.
But he didn't hit you, or he did hit you, just not beating you?
He didn't hit me. He didn't hit me at all. But he was abusive, emotionally, mentally. And him and mom got a divorce in 1983. And I could see why. He didn't like to go nowhere. And she liked to go places. And he wanted to stay at home. And
how was your mom growing up?
She was a loving mother. She let me do and make my way in life. She wouldn't get in the way. And
did you respect your mother, or did you hold it against her that she would marry someone like Willard?
He held it against her. I held it against her. Yeah.
Do you regret that now, or do you think, no, I had a right to be a little angry?
I had a right to be angry. I had a right to be angry. Because I didn't have no say-so when she married. She just got married. She got married the first time to get out of the house to my dad. And that's about all that she did. She was young when she married. She had me when she was 17. So.
When was the last time you saw your birth father?
Oh, he's 1983. He came down at Benn County Jail, where I was at, and he saw me and talked to me. And I died of lung cancer in 1994. He wanted to see me before he died. And he said, don't wait too long. And I didn't know what that meant. And he had lung cancer, and he died. So I didn't go to the funeral or.
What did he want to say to you that last meeting that you had with him?
I don't know. I don't know. I suppose he wanted to say, I'm sorry. And why did it take him dying of lung cancer to finally apologize to me? He had all those years before to say he was sorry. He was an atheist, and he met a minister towards his later days, and he made him see the light of what possibly could be after this life and how he lived his life. And I imagine he wanted to say he was sorry.
But he didn't.
No. No. I didn't give him the opportunity to. I didn't give him a chance. I was sort of mad at him, and I resented him. And I still do to this day.
I'm confused. He came down to see you and you refused the visit? Is that what happened?
No, I saw him. But this is 1994. He died. And I refused to go up and see him.
Okay. You said he had died in 84. Was it 94?
94.
Okay.
94.
So you were out at that time?
Mm-hmm.
And you could have gone to visit him in Missouri? Where was
Springfield,
he?
Missouri.
But you didn't?
No.
And he
no.
died of lung cancer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he ever write you a letter?
No. No.
What was he by trade? What did he do?
Oh, a jack of all trades and a master of none. He was a carpenter. He roofed houses. He was a florist. That's where Mom got the knowledge to open her own flower shop in Springdale. And he was, in 1964, he moved to California, Los Angeles, where he worked in a flower shop. And he was a good designer. And he was a pretty good florist. But he chose the carpentry when he moved back to Springfield, Missouri in 1970-71. So,
when you look back at the two men who had a lot of influence on you when you were young, your father, what's his name?
Harvey.
Harvey Dishman.
Mm-hmm.
And Willie.
Yeah,
Jones.
That's correct.
Which one had more positive influence on you?
Neither one. Neither one.
You just have nothing good to say about him.
No, neither one, neither one.
What did your mother instill in you?
She let me be me. She allowed me to grow up. She was a hard worker. She had her own flower shop in Springdale. Before that, she worked for other people that had flower shops. And my dad would come home. She worked at a chicken plant in 1963-62. And as I told you, my dad would take her payroll check every week. He didn't work. And he went to Springfield to see his girlfriends and left us at home with nothing to eat but bread and water. And no car, no phone. So, and he would get mad, and as I said, he'd punch mom. Had blood coming out of her nose and out of her eyes and out of her mouth. And then he would start on me, and as I told you, he would beat me. Never with his fist, always with his open hand. So I have a little resentment towards my dad. That's why it took him decades in lung cancer before he apologized, if it's what he's going to do. So neither one, my stepdad or my dad, have a positive influence on my life.
In the mid-70s, 75 or 76, you committed a crime that went to court, and you pled guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
And you served a year or less than a year. What was the crime?
Stealing CB radios out of cars. I had my CB radio stolen, and that's where I got the idea of revenge and payback. So I stole one of many CB radios. They were popular at the time, and I got caught and had to do 2 months in Tugger. It was like a camp, summer camp. And
how old were you?
19.
Okay, so you were an adult.
Yeah. It was brutal. It was hard. It was a wake-up call to don't do crimes.
What about it was brutal?
Yeah, well, prison at Tugger at the time was different than today. They shaved your head, your short hair when you first got here. There and they taught you, they made it intentionally hard on you not to come back. And the only way you go to prison is doing something illegal, wrong. So.
But give me a couple of details on how they made it intentionally hard.
Well, I can't. They yelled at you, called you every name in the book. As I said, when you first got there, they bird cut your hair, all your hair off. And they called you short hair. You worked out in the hot sun. They kept you on you, called you names. And they did that for a reason. So
just to kind of beat you down emotionally.
Yeah.
What was the work in the sun? Agriculture, farming?
Yeah, farming, hoe squads. And we did various jobs in the hot sun. When I went down there, it was in the summer from June to August. In a blazing hot sun. And as I said, it was brutal. It was a wake-up call. So.
Had you committed crimes before the CBs?
No. I didn't so much as steal a pencil. But
your mother says that she seemed to imply that you ran with some rough boys or something.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Dennis and Desi, he was the open truck driver. I ran with him. There's nothing. All my friends that I grew up with never served one day in jail in their life. That's, I don't know how she came to that conclusion, but not one of my friends did one day in jail in their life.
When you got out of Tucker and you were 19 years old,
mm-hmm.
What was your mindset?
To stay out of trouble. To stay out of trouble. To get a job. I worked at George's egg plant when I got out. I had a friend that worked there. His dad was the supervisor. And he got me on. That was a good time. I feel like I did something constructive in my life, considering I'd been to Tucker earlier, and so I worked. I bought me a car. Stayed in my own apartment, and I just lived my life the way it was supposed to be. I had fun. And during that time, I met a girl, Carla. And I thought my first love. And she knew I'd been to prison. She didn't care. She didn't tell her family. And I was in love. And I asked her, we went out for a couple of years, and I asked her to marry me after a year, and she said yes. So I was happy.
Working at the egg plant still?
Yeah.
The money was decent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had a car?
Yeah.
And you had a fiance?
Yeah. That's about it in life. And, all good things come to an end. And, yeah, let's say the Springdale PD put an end to my relationship with Carla. And, they started rumors around town that I used to go down during school, and she was in high school at the time. And I used to go down, Mother's Flower Shop was two blocks from the high school. And I went down and picked her up at noon. She took DECA in school. She had a job. School, and I Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I would take her down there, and I come back to Mom's shop. Well, the Springdale police noticed me down there picking her up, and they said I was selling drugs at the high school. No proof. I didn't have nothing to do with drugs, and she didn't either. But they acted on it, and they had the police force believed it. They searched my car with me in it, in me out of it. They harassed me. They harassed her. And I was doing some things then. I was an angry person. This didn't start, and I didn't know why they were pulling me over. And I was angry at them. And my temper and the cops ran off to Oklahoma. She, her mom and dad gave her a car, and she went to Oklahoma. And I finally found out. This was in 1979, April. I knew a Springdale police officer, and he, behind the Daylight Donut Shop in Springdale, he pulled up there one day, and I was coming out. And he said that, well, he said, the police in Springdale thought I was selling drugs. And that explained it all to me. I didn't know what for searching my car, and Polly answered my questions. And he said, Steve, he said, from now on, when the police pull you over and ask you if they can search your car, will you allow them? And I said, yes. I didn't have no more problems being pulled over after I gave him permission to search my car. No stops, no searches. The damage is already done.
Did you hit Carla?
No. No. I never struck a woman. Her mom and dad found out that I'd been to Tucker in 76. So that added to it. My past come back to haunt me.
I have to bring up a bad thing, but Dennis had said that she may have had an abortion, and that
yes.
made you very upset.
Yeah. I took her down to Fayetteville Clinic, Women's Clinic, in 1978, October. And she had an abortion. It was $300 back then. I didn't go in with her to offer support or comfort. That's one mistake I made. And when she came out to the car, I waited for her. I feel like something wrong. I did something wrong. This dread come all over my body, like I contributed to a murder. And it upset her and upset me. That was the only chance I had to become a father. It was hard. I think about every year when this child was supposed to be born, and I've counted out every year, well, I should have a child that's this age.
And what is the age now?
Well, 1978, 40 years old, 39 years old.
What about the 1979 burglary of the original Muskrat Roadhouse and Saloon?
Well, as I said, revenge is... I pulled that job in to pay back the cops in Springdale. I wasn't doing anything wrong at the time. So I made a dumb mistake by burglarizing that Muskrat Roadhouse in 1979. I think I can remember what I got out of there. Cash, but I don't remember how much. And my memory's starting to go now.
You know, they say usually with stealing, and when I was a little kid, I stole a lot, and I finally got caught.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Before that, I had stole maybe hundreds of things from stores.
No, yeah. Shoplifting.
Shoplifting, yeah. Because it became a little bit of a thrill, and also I could get something for nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And my question to you is, the Muskrat Saloon.
Yeah.
You're telling me that was the first burglary that you'd done? You've never done another burglary?
Yeah. And at that time, in 1979, it was the first burglary I ever committed. But it's still listed on my time card from the prison system, Washington County, 1979, from that one burglary. So... You know, the cops got after me from that burglary. I think I had a thumbprint on the window. And one night in Fayetteville, they pulled me over. I attempted to pull me over, and I ran. Took off in my Monte Carlo, and I ran the cops. And I wrecked the car, took off on foot, barefooted, and I avoided the cops for a number of years from that burglary. So, yeah, if I had to do over again, I wouldn't do it because it's haunted me till this day.
Okay, so you're apprehended. You go before Judge William, I want to say Ensign, but that's not right.
Enfield. Yeah.
And you plead guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You just cop to it.
Yeah.
Did you go to Cummins first, or where'd you go?
Well, Bob White was my lawyer in Fayetteville. He's an ex-Razorback football player. He kicked a field goal kicker during the late 60s for him. He was my lawyer. He was a good lawyer. And he got numerous burglaries, then down to 7 years concurrent. And I came in 1984. Day ever Christmas to Pine Bluff. That was where the old diagnostics unit was. And I went to Cummins, and I was there for a month and a half. And I Wrightsville for a month and a half, and then been work release for 2 months.
I think when people hear Wrightsville and Tucker and Cummins for sure, they think that Benton Work Release must have been like a little hotel.
Yeah.
But you didn't like it there.
I didn't like it. They had me, and I liked the job. They had me pouring concrete slabs in a construction site for ADM, heavy trucks. And I picked up, and I was worried about going back to Springdale, where all my problems originated from. And I got the in the Springdale police were waiting on me when I got out. I had problems with them before, and I'd have problems with them again. So I took off. They brought me to work one morning, and I took off.
But describe that for me. They brought you to a work site where you're pouring concrete?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell me exactly what happened.
Well, I jumped a chain link fence, and I walked early that morning off the job site down a street, and I followed the railroad tracks all the way to Conway.
You literally walked from Benton in Saline County along railroad tracks until you got to Conway.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about a 45-mile, 50-mile.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 35. Give or take a mile or two. Yeah.
How many minutes did you think you'd have before somebody would notice you're gone?
Well, they took us to the job site a little bit earlier, so I had probably an hour, maybe two.
Do you mean to suggest that they took you there early, and so for a window of time, there wasn't a supervisor for?
No. No.
Did you tell your fellows, hey, I'm going to walk off, please don't say anything?
No. It's come to... I came as a surprise to them. I came as a surprise to the Benton work release. I didn't tell no one.
Why Conway?
I don't know. It just seemed to... I don't know. I don't know to this day why Conway. Why Conway? I've often wondered that myself. It seems like it attracted me. It was a nice little town at the time, 21,000. Basically, I was homeless. And I got into unlocked RVs on side of people's houses to get my sleeping bag and some food. And I never broke in to them. I always find them unlocked. So I didn't want anyone to know I was there.
Did you have to change your clothes?
Yeah, I got a different change of clothes. And it's amazing how many people leave their RVs unlocked. Now I wouldn't do it because of today's surveillance cameras, and it got cameras everywhere. And I wouldn't do it today. I wouldn't do a lot of things today. Back in the 1985 was basically back in the Stone Age. For no cell phones, no computers. They had me on TV from walking off from job site, work release. But after that, it was good to go. But you remember then, TV news only lasted for 30 minutes. And then national news come on after that. And they got Inside Edition or Wheel of Fortune that comes on after that. So, yeah.
How did you think you'd be caught? Post billboards with your photo, and someone sees you and says, hey, that's him.
Side of Mel Cardin's. I only traveled by night. I avoided contact with people. I got my food out of bread store dumpsters. They throw away all their expired stuff. I raided the dumpsters behind KFC and Church's Chicken. I will. They throw away their surplus chicken they didn't sell at nights. If people didn't take it home with them, they put it in a dumpster. Package didn't put it in a dumpster. And by, as I said, I left homeless. And my heart goes out to people that are homeless. I know what they go through, how they feel.
What about your appearance?
I didn't change my appearance. As I said, they didn't have cell phones or computers back then. They had to remember me from that moment in the newspaper. If they had my picture, or if they had my picture on TV, they had to remember that moment, because there was no recorders back then, except for VCRs. I wasn't worried about it. And as I said, I traveled at night. And I avoided contact with people.
How'd you come up with the name Ken Anderson?
I picked it out. The Anderson part came from Father's Knows Best with Robert Young. His name was Anderson. I chose that name. I liked that name for a last name. And Ken, I just came up with it in thin air.
One of the things that people think about when they see the movie The Fugitive,
mm-hmm.
they think about, how would I go about starting over? How would I get a driver's license? Or, other than cash, could I ever get a credit card again? Could I ever get a car?
Yeah.
There's so many things that require some beginning piece of documentation.
It all starts with a birth certificate. And birth certificates, you could build your way up to those things under assumed identity. And I didn't have the knowledge or know-how to acquire a birth certificate. All I knew is you find a person that's dead, that's died early in life. And there is no paper trail of that person because I died so young. But I didn't know how to go about it. And I was lucky.
Did you get a birth certificate?
No. I didn't acquire no fictitious or fake identity. I just made it up. And I lived with that for 32 years as Ken Anderson.
But I guess I'm wondering, did you ever hold a formal job? Did you ever file a tax return?
No. What jobs I did, I worked under the table for cash. And painted houses in 32 years, laid floor tile, washed and waxed detailed cars, at a job in 91 through 94 at the old Brannan's Drive-In in Conway. And there was a miniature golf course next door, which it was owned by the same person. And I knew Frank. I've known him since 1986, 87. And we have one thing in common. We love talking Razorback basketball, football. We've spent hours talking about them. And my girlfriend at the time worked down there. And she worked two jobs. And only chance I got to see her was working at the golf course, handing out golf clubs and balls and upkeep on the golf, a miniature golf course.
You have 10 minutes.
Total?
Well, we had an hour set aside. We started at 10:17.
Yeah. But
we were talking about, were you being paid under the table?
No, I was working for food at the golf course. I mowed the grass every weekend for money, about what you would mowing grass, and that's it.
Talk about the first time you laid eyes on your girlfriend.
Yeah, we've known each other for 30 years. She was naive to the world. She was innocent. I liked those qualities about her. That's what attracted me to her. And we finally got together in 1990. And we've been living ever since. I left her in May, last day of May last year.
That's a long time to be with someone.
Yeah, yeah. She said that if we got married in 1990, we'd still be married today. And she wanted to get married and have kids, and I deprived her of that because of my situation, because of my past. And she had a friend was interested in her. He'd been married once before. He'd had two kids, ages 10 and 7, boys. And I basically walked away from our relationship so she could have that. I gave up my cat, my home, my friends, my truck, my girlfriend. So she could have it. And plus, my health wasn't doing too good.
In all that time, did you ever have a run-in with a police officer or an investigator?
No. We knew a whole squad rider for a good many years. We knew cops. So, no, not one time.
Never had anyone say to you, "Boy, you look like that guy back in the 80s that walked
around." No. One time, Channel 7 carried up people who escaped from prison. It was 97, during an Auburn-Arkansas basketball game. It's sweeps month that month. And I knew what was coming on Channel 7, and I was dreading it. Every dang time, I was dreading it. And it got to the news, and it got to the segment of people who escaped from prison, and 9 people total. and they had me on there. I sat and watched my picture on the TV on Channel 7, and it didn't look like me. I had a beard, so.
In the photo, you had a beard.
Yeah, yep. So, me and Debbie said, you're safe.
Because Debbie knew at that time.
Yeah, she knew before.
How many months did you, how many years did you hold off telling her?
She knew it before we got together.
How could you trust someone that much?
Because we loved each other. Loved each other.